Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Coronavirus, our special podcast series that is going to go until we get back to school, whenever that is. Daily episodes drop in every single day as long as we have new content, things to think about, things to talk about, things to work through, and to share best practices. Typically speaking, we have podcasts once a Monday, and then we push them out because we record them in the car while I'm on my way to work as an instructional coach here in Washington, D.C. But in this time of unprecedented crisis and shutdowns of schools, teachers are understandably in a position where they're kind of making the rules as they go and building the plans as they fly it. So having an instructional coach on demand can be really, really helpful. So every day, I'll take about 15 to 20 minutes and just talk through things that are happening. Best practices, ideas, things you can do in your classrooms, things that could inspire you and make you want to be a better teacher, and things you can use right now with your students to make your classroom extend well beyond the physical space of the four walls of your school. And I'm here to help. So anything you need, feel free to message me on the Twitter machine. I'm at MeehanEDU. Or if you want to check out my website, it's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's education, adrenaline, like education. I share templates and resources there all the time, and all a bunch of free stuff, and anything I can do to help. And I wrote a book called Adrenaline Rush, which I realize now is not the time to try to sell books, so let's not talk about that, but there are a bunch of other stuff, and if you like the podcast, you might like the book. But I do want to talk to you directly about things that can make our lives fun, because here my school is entering its second week of this coronavirus shutdown, and during this time of shutdown, I'm freaking out, man. Like, I think my kids are freaking out. I think my teachers are freaking out. My administration's freaking out. And then we can put a brave face on that. I think the end result is everybody's making this up as they go. There is no precedent for how to do digital learning and online learning to this scale. Teachers have been assigning homework for years, but I think we're seeing a lot of the holes in the fences coming here about what winds up happening with equity and with access. And I have a bunch of talking points. We can spend more time on those individually later. But just quickly, if you're freaking out, let's pretend you're, 30 years old, or 50 years old, or 60 years old. Take your life experiences at 30, at 50, at 60, and be like, okay, perspective, this sucks, but I'm going to get through it. It's going to be okay. I'm worried about my family, but we have supplies, we have healthcare, we have a roof over our heads, we have our jobs. You're good. That's what you can think of like a 30-year-old, like a 50-year-old, like a 60-year-old. You may have seen loved ones in your life come and go. You may have seen friends and family members pass away. And there's a lot to that that gives you the strength to go through that again and again. Now take that and divide your life experience by 3 or 4 or 5 or 8, because your students you're teaching are 5 or 8 or 10 or 15, right? And just like that, they don't have that experience that you've had with, oh my God, what I'm looking at? I have no idea. I have no precedent for it. And we as a school, we as a society really don't have a precedent for this. But we at least have a life experience individually to say, well, this is like something I've gone through. This is like when I beat cancer, or this is like when my mom passed away, or this is like when, my girlfriend and I had a long distance relationship. Whatever your thing is, now take that and say, don't have that life perspective. And many of our students are not only building the plane as they fly it, but like they're also learning how to fly because they're kids. And I'm thinking about this again and again and again about what can we do as educators to make their lives recognize that they're living through history, and school is just a very small part of that human life. School, for those who want to geek out about some word origins for me, from the book Leisure, The Basis of Culture, there's a 20th century philosopher, I think he's Polish, his name is Józef Pieper, P-I-E-P-E-R, he wrote a book called Leisure, The Basis of Culture. In it, he traces, it's a philosophical treatise, and his whole book is about like the Socratic method and St. Thomas Aquinas. He's a major philosopher in Catholic thought and a lot of really good stuff that's very old and very rooted in classical tradition that comes to the modern education system from Pieper. But in his book, he talks about the word school, and he says the word school actually comes from us in Greek, the word skole, and in Latin, the word scala, the word scholastic or scholarship, right? And literally translated, that word skole or skola in Latin, Greek, it means leisure. It's the thing we did as the basis of our culture. You had to go to work. You had to, eat and sleep. You had to have a roof over your head. But what you did when you weren't in your work-a-day world, Pieper argues, you got to do it in your scala. And you became a scholar of the thing that you pursued for fun, because you wanted to. That choice, that voice, that chance to be a human. We often said about, we go to wars to defend our way of life. We don't go to war so we can go to wars. We go to war so we can defend our culture, our arts, our liberties, the things that we believe in, the things we value, the way we treat people, the things that in our free time we will spend money on and spend time with. And I think that's really, really significant because for many of our students right now, the absence of school is almost creating like a vortex that's causing them to do more school. And not school in the Scala sense, like the traditional sense of, hey, this is about a leisure thing. Rather, it's, you know, big friggin' packets and, you know, worksheets and deadlines for totally synchronized learning where everyone has to tune in and pay attention to a webinar. And just like students figured out a long time ago how to cheat on homework, within seconds they figured out how to break any version of an online test or class that we can give. And as an instructional coach, I can give some examples that I've had over the last couple of days. So today's podcast is really going to be about, again, that whole child, what ASCD calls the whole child, what the Catholic schools talk about as the dignity of the human person. It's a little squishy, but I think it's important because right now, sometimes our kids need a little bit of squishy. Maybe they feel safe, maybe they feel supported. We always talk about the Maslow stuff before you do the Bloom stuff. But some examples of some tests and some sort of assessments I've seen people trying to give and then running up against and feeling frustrated by, which can be, you know, counterexamples of things to keep in mind for your own classroom, sort of do's and don'ts. The first is a teacher said, hey, I want to make sure the kids aren't cheating on their assignments. And I'm like, well, then you have to build an assignment they can't cheat on. Because if that's your biggest concern right now, and that, again, I'm not trying to say the person is not lacking sympathy or empathy for kids who are going through something, but like if that's your biggest educational concern, right, I want the kids to do this work and not cheat. Simply saying, hey guys, this test is online. On your honor, promise not to use the internet. Yeah, that's not going to happen. There are plenty of fancy-dancy softwares out there you can spend a lot of money for that will lock down the screen so they can only have one screen open at the same time, which is cool, except that they can have their phone in their hands while they're taking this test, and just like that, they can be Googling anything they want on their phone. They could also be screenshotting everything and sending it to friends, and so anything that you've posted to an internet, presume is an open books, open notes, phone-a-friend version of who wants to be a millionaire kind of test. That has to change the way that you design your assessment, period, full stop. If you think you're going to get good data by just asking gotcha questions, it's not going to work. It's not going to work for a number of reasons. First, students are going to have access to cheating. We don't want to believe they're going to cheat, but I unfortunately have to accept that if I walked away during a testing period of my class and no one was in that room with a bunch of children, human nature is just to be curious. And I won't say that to be evil, but to be curious. They're going to look over their shoulder like, hey, what'd you get? And the longer you're away and the cat's away, so to speak, of course the mice will play. So you have to understand that every test you're giving is open books, open notes, open phone friend. That's item number one. Item number two, if you think you're going to make this better by giving timed assessments, respectfully, you need to check your privilege. And here's why. Because if you are posting at, let's say at 10 a.m., hey guys, at 10 a.m., everybody's going to take this test. It's coming out in an email and you have an hour to take it. Well, what if Bobby doesn't have access to the internet? What if Janie is down with disease? While I'm literally flying in, there are four Chinook helicopters flying over me here in Washington, D.C. in formation while they're making their way to somewhere that has to be a government agency because, like I said, I lived and worked in D.C. for like 20 years. And I can tell you that whenever you see multiple helicopters, they're never just having fun, right? That's important for our students to think about, too, that what if their families are involved in government or military or what if they're involved in, you know, healthcare? Or they're involved in medical, or police, fire, first responders. There's a lot of things that could be on a child's brain, and just like that, as easy as I could be having a conversation and helicopters come flying up over the top, that could be their life. Hey guys, we're supposed to have a 10 a.m. test. Just kidding, Mom got called into work. Now you have to take care of, you know, the baby, or now you have to take care of, you know, Grandma, or now you have to go grocery shopping, whatever that is. And this isn't a picnic. This isn't a blizzard. This isn't like a hunker down and we'll get it done in 3 days. This is winter. Like, we're at a spot now that this is the new normal, at least for the indefinite, you know, future 2 to 3 weeks, if not longer. And so for that reason, we have to be very cognizant of that lack of structure in our children's lives and simply trying to hammer down more timed tests or more structure is a violation of our students' inherent dignity. And again, we have to check our own privilege because if the internet doesn't work for any reason, giving a timed test is not cool. And if you have students with IEPs, students who get extended time, students who learn differently, giving a test at 5 a.m. and saying, hey guys, this test is open at 5 a.m. and it will close at 6 a.m., well, kid could be sleeping. And if you say, well, it's up at 5 p.m. and 6 p.m., well, kid could also be sleeping. We don't know what their life is going to look like without the structure that school has. And if a child has extended time and you're like, well, everyone gets 90 minutes to take this test, except for Billy, who gets time and a half. how are you going to police that and lock that down? I know that you kind of probably in your own head have a general feel for the IEPs for each of your students, but in many cases, a lot of that paperwork is locked up inside of our physical school buildings we can't get back to. And so those students with preferential seating or those students with extended time, you almost have to assume that every test you're giving is not only open books, open notes, open phone a friend, but everyone gets extended time and everyone gets preferential seating and everyone gets different ways to demonstrate their learning. And so the idea of, all right, at 8 a.m. I'm going to send the test. As soon as you ask me that you're ready for the test, I'll send you an email back. Then you have an hour to email me back, except for you, Bobby. You get 90 minutes to email me back. Bobby can just screenshot that, send it to his friends, and then when they get that same email from you at 10 a.m., okay, I'm ready to take the test now, you're going to see a curve that says all the students as the day goes on get much better at that test much faster because they got the answers from the kids who came before them. We have to think about that. We have to build a better mousetrap. And again, talking about the squishiness, this is really important. So what I recommend is if you have the access to something like Zoom or Google Meet or Hangouts or Google Voice, and we'll talk about each of those in other podcasts, consider setting up individual one-on-one times using a sign-up genius. Hey, all students, I'm going to open the testing block for the week of Monday through Friday. If you have 100 students, that means you have 100 different appointment slots, like a dentist or a visit to a chiropractor, and they sign up for 10-minute slots. If you can take four or five people an hour, over the course of if you wanted to take appointment slots all day long over 8 hours, you can have like 30 people a day, give or take. Then over the course of a week, you can have like 100 people, give or take. Again, you don't have to work 8 hours every day, but that's kind of what we're looking at. So if you have 10-minute appointment slots, everybody in the group calls you and talks to you one-on-one. And they have to talk to you one-on-one through whatever your preferred communication platform is. And you just give the test orally, where you check through, hey, what do you think about this concept? Can you explain to me about that character? Can you walk me through how to get that equation solved? And either with voice or video, you'll be able to tell really quickly if there's pain points, if there's hesitation, if there's confusion. Remember that traditional schools were set up in a time where that one-room schoolhouse grew into a training ground for the Industrial Revolution, and we had to have crowd control where everyone learned at the same pace at the same time, and we treated them like meat through a grinder, the same years that we came up with grading meat in factories for safety's sake. It was right about the same time they came up with the idea of grading in schools, and for much the same reason, treating people as meat through a grinder because they were designed to go back in and do the same work as the person next to them. That's different today, and that's not the case. Oral tests are a great way, and we can do a whole podcast on how to do a proper oral test, but just as an idea, that you can check in with students individually, see where their pain points and see where their growths are, and then have conversations about things that they could individually do as like a next step, you know? Like when you go to your dentist, dentist looks at your teeth and says, hey, you're doing a great job flossing. He looks at me and says, hey, you got to do a better job of brushing those back, you know, teeth, whatever it is, your molars. Look at somebody else and say, hey, I think your wisdom teeth are coming in. Three different people get three totally different assessments. Of course, he's going to tell you to brush and floss. That's always what he'll tell you. But specifically, he'll be like, hey, you specifically have to brush here or like this, or you have to floss like that. And yeah, that is a little bit more work per student, but suddenly we have a lot of free time in our days. And if you're not doing full-time parenting work on top of full-time schoolwork in those 8 hours, now you have more time to give to each student because they can learn at their own paces. And if you check in on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday, it's all roughly commensurate in the end that every child is at least given feedback about what he or she or they need to get better at individually. So that's another idea for you moving forward. While we're still talking about squishy things, here's a stupid squishy thing, but I think it could be really helpful and a lot of fun. If you're still tuning in, I thank you again, because this just hearing somebody's voice sometimes is reassuring. And whether you're setting up a Zoom or an office hours or Google Hangouts or a Meet, where you're just like, just talk to me, hang out, let's do something. If you do TikTok, right? Let's make a TikTok dance together. A fun challenge you might be interested in doing. Set up a class Flipgrid. And Flipgrid is easy. It's just go to flipgrid.com. And it's free sharing of videos back and forth for anybody who's interested in your class. Just give them the password, and they can post the video to that password-protected site. You post your videos to that, and your students can see those videos, and they can reply to one another's videos with other videos. And I would challenge you to, like, as a class, do something that's like a fun game or some sort of nonsense thing. Like, hey guys, I want to see your best hand wash challenge. So for 30 seconds, I want you to play your favorite song and sing along to your favorite song while you're washing your hands for 30 seconds, showing the world how to do it right. And you have third graders all showing each other how to wash their hands to, you know, like, Watch Me Whip, Watch Me Nay Nay, you know, or like Old Town Road. That's fun. That's stupid. And that's the type of thing that a kid gets excited and says, oh, I want to tune in. I want to share that information. I want my classmates, my friends to see me because they haven't seen one another and they're freaking out. And if their teacher's there doing it too, like, hey, I'm going to do this to, you know, Summer Lovin. Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, oh, who? Wash your hands, right? You know, like, 20 seconds of you just being a goof on a camera is that little moment where the kid says, hey, I do feel safe, and there's something to look forward to, and I can't wait to tune back in to see who's rooting for me and who's shared with me and who said something back to me. And yes, they do have TikTok and they have Snapchat and they have Instagram and all these other places where they can hang out and talk to one another off of school property. But to know that they have their teacher right there rooting for them and an adult who's checking in regularly and saying, hey, your video was good, I care about you, or that thing that you, like, you wouldn't leave your own children or your own students unattended for weeks at a time. So digitally, don't allow yourself to forget that there are people involved. And building in assignments, those little step backs that are just like, this is a dopey fun assignment, just want to check in with you. And if you don't feel comfortable doing it with a video, you can do it with a Google form, or just back and forth with a simple email. Hey, Bobby, how's anybody this morning? How you doing? How you holding up? Those little squishy things, those little soft things, remembering the meaning of what school is supposed to be in the first place. Scala, right? The thing we do for leisure, the thing we get to do for fun. Recognizing that our students are people first before they are learners, and we need to help them be safe and supported as people. As my car beeps at me, speak about safe and supportive. What a day. Thank you again for tuning in. New episodes every day throughout the lockdowns and the shutdowns. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to message me on the Twitter machine at MeehanEDU. Feel free to subscribe to the podcast or leave a rating. It really is helpful because it helps other people find the same content. And if there's anything I can do to help, message me. I'm all in. God bless you guys. Stay safe. And we will talk further tomorrow. Thanks.